Welcome everyone today to our Fulbright U.S. Scholar presentation, Spotlight on Israel. My name is Carlene Velez and I am an Outreach and Recruitment Specialist at the Institute of International Education, and I'm happy to be joined by my colleague Noah Tergeman, who is the Deputy Director of Programs from Fulbright Israel, and you will be hearing from her throughout the presentation. We are also joined by Dr. David Romschitsky, who is a professor of chemical engineering at City College of the City University of New York, and Dr. Kevin Chaim Rothman, who is a postdoctoral fellow at Bar-Ilan University in Israel. Thank you again for joining us today, and I do want to let you know that you can chat in any questions as we are giving the presentation today. The goal is that we'll have about 25 or 30 minutes at the end of the presentation to be able to answer all of your questions. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about the mission and history of Fulbright. Fulbright has been around since 1946, and it is the U.S. government's flagship international and educational exchange program. We are very excited because we have partnered up with 160 countries worldwide to offer opportunities for academics and professionals to teach, study, and conduct research abroad. The overall mission of the Fulbright program, and something that should come through in your application, is the desire to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve lives around the world. This is at the heart of Fulbright, and it is something that we are very proud of. Diversity and inclusion. This is something that we strive to promote in all of our programs with Fulbright. We want our applicants and our grantees to represent the diversity of America abroad. And for this, we take this very seriously. We actively recruit people from minority-serving institutions, from community colleges, geographical diversity. And I also want to mention that we are having a webinar next week with the Mobility International USA, and that webinar is devoted to scholars with disabilities going abroad. So I do want you all to know that this is something we take very seriously in all of our programs. Fulbright by the numbers. Fulbright funds over 8,000 awards annually. And what I'd like to point out is about 800 of these awards go to U.S. scholars and administrators. So we have a wide variety of opportunities for scholars around the world. Since its inception in 1946, we've had about 390,000 Fulbrighters, and it's something that we're very proud of. Eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program. First and foremost, you need to have United States citizenship. After that, the eligibility requirements differ according to the award description. And so in the case of the Fulbright Awards to Israel, you will see that the PhD or terminal degree is required, and we will talk more about those eligibility requirements up ahead. Selecting the right award is really important when you are applying to the Fulbright program. So it's important when you look at the offerings in Fulbright Israel that you try to match your expertise, experience, and proposal to the actual award descriptions. Some awards have language requirements, others have discipline preferences, but it is important that you look at where you are in your career and which award in the Fulbright Israel profile best matches your situation. Okay, now I would like to turn it over to my colleague Noah from Fulbright Israel. As you can see, we have all of the contact information for Fulbright Israel on social media listed here, but I would like to hear a little bit more from her about some of the benefits of Fulbright Israel. So she'll talk a little bit about Fulbright Israel before we move on to the specific awards. So Noah, I'd like to turn it over to you.
Afternoon, everyone. Good evening. Everyone from Tel Aviv. A very nice and warm evening here. My name is Noah Tergeman, and I am the Deputy Director for Programs in Fulbright Israel. I've been working in Fulbright Israel for 2 years now. A very proud Fulbright staff at the Israel office. Fulbright Israel was founded in 1956. We have a legacy of more than 60 years of working together with the State Department and ECA in Washington and throughout the United States for bringing talented and excellent Americans to come and study and research in Israel, and vice versa. We also send Israelis to go and study and research in the United States and come back to Israel. We believe that we are building the shield of Israeli academia and that we are a pivotal organization in the bilateral relationship between the two countries. Innovation and excellence are the key words that we use, and we're not ashamed to say that our fellows, our selected fellows, are innovative, excellent, and are also leaders in their fields, both in Israel and in the United States. You can read about us and hear about us and see about us in all of those links that we prepared. We're active. We have a very detailed website. It's in three languages, Hebrew, Arabic, and English. And we're also very active in most of the social media channels. Of course, we're very available by email. We have an email address, and I have a personal email address that you're more than welcome to email me with any small or big question. Don't be ashamed. Just email me your questions, and I'll gladly answer. Is there anything else I should say here, Carlin? I'm not sure. Or maybe I'll talk just a little about this picture that you see from on the left. That's our orientation, our this year orientation in October 2019. The people that you see here are American fellows. We have many programs. And we took everyone on an orientation and tour for a two-day tour. This is the northern border of Israel. It's the border between Israel and Lebanon. I'll talk later a little bit more about safety and security, but as you can see, it looks very safe and very nice and very calm. And it was a wonderful tour to lead and be at. We have a very nice staff of 8 people. Our offices are located in Tel Aviv. They're very accessible and very open for our fellows to come and visit and use. I will also say that for you guys, the scholars that are here on this call, Israel is the leader. I mean, you've probably heard the term Startup Nation, but even before Startup Nation became a startup nation, I believe that it was always a startup because Israel as a country is a sort of a startup. It's a sort of an experiment that did very well. In that sense, when we talk about academia and research and the different fields that are being researched throughout the world, I can safely say that Israel has more than 6 universities that are very much leaders in every field that you can think about, and not just science, the sciences, social sciences, humanities, you name it. You can ask me later or an email, whatever is your field, I am certain you can find amazing professors and researchers that are leading in their field to join and research with. It's something that I can personally say that I'm very proud of, and also just results, and if you'll read about it in every channel you can think about, it's also true. Our fellowships are very nice. They're very diverse throughout the country, and if we'll go into the details, you are into having a wonderful time on your own or with your family, depends on what your status here, because the weather and the safety and the environment of Israel is very, very nice. Our biggest problem is that our fellows usually don't want to leave. And my colleagues here, David and Chaim, will tell you later that they didn't want to leave here. It's a very, very nice country with a very nice and very warm environment. And it is wonderful here. So I guess if you're here on this call, you're already interested. Our goal is to make you apply and to seriously think about coming.
Thank you so much, Noah. Now, if we can move into some of the award descriptions, that would really help our audience as well understand the wonderful offerings that Israel has.
Wonderful. So we have two main fellowships for scholars. The first one is the Senior Scholar Fellowship. It is designed, all our fellowships are for all fields, but this is open for academics in the range of an associate professor or higher level. So you have to be a senior scholar. It is for all disciplines. It is for one semester, although what usually many people do, they would wave together a Fulbright Fellowship together with another fellowship or another host agreement, and they will come for a year, and that's okay with us. You will not be a Fulbrighter when you're done with the 4 months with the semester, but you're of course welcome to stay for a sabbatical. You will come here to research, teach, or do both. You will need a letter of invitation from your host institution, from the university you would like to research at. And some of these disciplines, there is a financial contribution required. So if you go into our website and click on the Senior Scholar Fellowship, you'll see the difference between, with some of the universities we have an agreement, and with some of them the agreement is a little different. From my experience, most universities will very gladly and easily commit to the financial contribution. It's a contribution of $2,000 from a much larger grant. So in that sense, depends on, first of all, choose the university you would like to research at, find a host, find a contact person, or if you know a contact person, and make sure that both your wills match. I would not worry about the financial contribution. You will need to ask for one, and if you have any other questions about that specifically, I can answer by email. Should we move on to the next fellowship? So we have, together with Hebrew U in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv University, Haifa University, and Ben-Gurion University in Be'er Sheva in the Negev, those universities have a specific partnership where a financial contribution agreement is not needed because that's a specific program. All other, these fellowships are exactly the same. It's a 4 month fellowship and it's open to all fields and it's the same level of seniority. Should we move on? And our second fellowship is the postdoc fellowship. It is open for postdoc scholars, people who finished a dissertation and earned their PhD not before August 2016. So in that sense, it's a fresh, quote-unquote, PhD, 4 years old and younger. It is, again, open to all disciplines. all academic institutions that can host a postdoc, and we have a list on our website of all those institutions, and you are welcome to come for 1 or 2 academic years. We invite you to stay for 20 months for 2 academic years, but if you have plans or you have a job offer waiting for you and you just want to come for 1 year of research, that's okay. Also, this is a research-only award. You're not here to teach. And of course, a letter of invitation is required. And we'll talk just a little about this letter of invitation. In our mind, and also the letter of invitation is a key element in your proposal and application. In that sense, communicate with the potential hosts here and make sure that they give you a warm and adequate letter of invitation so that the committees that will review the application will see that there's a real match and that there's a real research that is interesting and that this matchmaking makes sense. Do we have another slide about the postdoc? We have postdoc partnerships with some of the universities here. The differences in the fellowship is that our fellowships are the grant $47,500 per year, which means $95,000 for total for the 2 years. In these institutions that are listed here, Weizmann, Haifa, and Ben-Gurion, we have an additional agreement where you will be able to receive additional funding. It's usually funding for research or for relocation. I will also add that we have also a refund of the flight ticket of both the fellow and a spouse or a partner of up to $1,700. It's a beautiful fellowship, and if you match this fellowship, I highly recommend you apply. Again, the same 1 to 2 academic years open to people who earned their PhD in the last 4 years, and a very warm letter of invitation is required.
Thank you so much, Noah. I do want to highlight that all of these postdoc awards are really a great way to launch your career and continue to build up those international collaborations at the very beginning of your career that will hopefully last you throughout its lifetime. So thank you very much for sharing the information about your awards. I'm sure we'll get more questions in the question and answer portion. Now I'd like to move on to highlight our alumni. So first I'm going to ask Dr. David Rimshitsky, who was a Fulbright U.S. Scholar to Israel from the City College of the City University of New York in Chemical Engineering. So David, if you can please unmute yourself and share with us a little bit about your Fulbright experience.
I think I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me to participate in this. I'm a very enthusiastic Fulbright alum. I think it's just an amazing program. And in particular, I can only speak about the Israel part. The staff in Israel is just terrific. And they have a beautiful office with a room that you can work in whenever you're in Tel Aviv. Okay, just a little bit about who I am. I know I only have 5 minutes. So I'm faculty at City College in New York. I did my PhD at Berkeley in California. And I did a previous sabbatical with a Humboldt Fellowship in Germany. So different part of the world, different climate. Let's see, I have a list of questions in front of me so that I know what to address. Why did I choose Israel? Well, there was work that I was interested in doing. By the way, is my video on? Should I share my webcam?
No, there's no need to share the webcam. You could just speak at this webinar. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. There was work I was doing. I'm a theoretician, and there was an experimental component I was trying to integrate, and there was an excellent first-rate scientist at the Technion in Haifa that I had been speaking with, and we thought it would be a wonderful idea for me to come over and to collaborate. Now, of course, I found him also when I was looking to go away because I had a sabbatical coming up. So it was sort of a confluence of issues where I had a sabbatical coming up and Yuval's lab did exactly what I was interested in doing. And the culture in each country is a little different. Yuval, even though we had never met, became like my brother immediately. He was so warm and inviting, which is not something you expect from in the United States, but I think that's part of the Middle Eastern warmth. What I did there, I was working on a problem having to do with cancer and how cancer can, many times certain cancers can be treated and they look like the treatment works, and then the first few years the scans are fine, and then maybe 15 years later, it can come roaring back. And no one really understands that process. I had developed a mathematical theory about this, and so I developed a mathematical theory for this and wanted to do experiments on mice, on a mouse model of breast cancer, which is exactly the specialty in the Yuval's lab. Now, when I go someplace, I did it in Germany, I did it in Israel as well, I really take the opportunity to immerse myself in the community and the culture. I mean, I had already spoken pretty good Hebrew beforehand, but it certainly got a lot better in Israel. I got an apartment in a normal community where, with no foreigners, with basically just an Israeli community, not very far actually from where Noah lives. We would run into each other on our bicycles pretty often. I did come myself. I made numerous Israeli friends, some I had beforehand. And part of the reason I was interested in Israel was because I did have a lot of cousins in Israel that I had only seen occasionally while growing up, and I did kind of want to get to know them a bit, in addition to the scientific part. And I was always curious what it would be like to live in Israel. I'm not a hot weather person, so I took that into account. For a year, I can put up with hot weather. our collaboration is continuing. I'm actually working on a proposal right now to get more funding for it. I'm working on a paper based on the work that we did together in Israel. Hopefully that will be done by the end of the summer, and we've already submitted an abstract to a meeting in November to report on the results. And clearly the people at my university have been very interested in this work, and I've been very happy to talk to them and other colleagues about it. It was a really exciting opportunity, and I think if you have such plans, you should definitely try it.
Thank you so much, David, for sharing a little bit about your experiences. And I want to ask the audience, if you have questions specifically targeted for David, then feel free to type those in the chat box, and we will ask them to him in the question and answer portion. Moving right along, I'm going to ask Chaim to talk about his experience as a Fulbright postdoctoral fellow at Bar-Ilan University. So if you can please unmute yourself, we'd love to hear your experiences as a postdoc in Israel.
So I want to repeat David's praises of the Fulbright staff in Israel. Noah is amazing, and all of the staff there were tremendously helpful and supportive, and that is really important in making the transition from America to here. They were great. So a brief word on who I am. So I am a much newer scholar. I finished my PhD at Boston College in philosophy. I wrote on Benedict Spinoza. And then when I finished my PhD, I wanted to do something completely different than what I had been writing on before, because I had spent the past 2 years writing on one person. So I came up with this idea that I had been thinking about for a really long time, but never really sat down and did the work on, and it made the proposal for a Fulbright, thinking there's no way that anyone is going to accept me to do this totally out-of-the-box work. And to my surprise, they evolved with me. And I think that's a testament to the type of openness and the readiness for creativity and out-of-the-box thinking that Fulbright Israel is open to, that they're really looking for people who create amazing, cool things. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, I'm just saying that I know that my topic of religious anarchism is not a usual topic to be researching, and they brought me in and they were really welcome. Why did I want to choose Israel? Well, for me, it's really an obvious choice, because there's amazing archival research opportunities here, and my research really depends on archives. I'm working on material that there really isn't a lot of secondary research on. So I'm creating I'm creating the information, and where do I get it from is the archives. The National Library is an incredible resource, and there's archives all over the country for this sort of material that I work on and that anyone who's working in the humanities, especially in Jewish studies, would be working on. As far as the campus culture, I agree with David completely that it's a really welcoming environment. They want people coming in, bringing new perspectives that they're not getting from inside Israel. Israel is a very diverse place, but the more the better in terms of new perspectives, diversity of ideas, and so on. Unlike David, I live in a predominantly English-speaking area. I live in Jerusalem, which has a lot of Anglos in it. I chose to do that because I brought my family with me. I have two children, and I felt like they really needed to be in a place where they'd be able to communicate with peers easily. They're both in Israeli schools, and they're learning Hebrew, but in terms of their social lives, I wanted them to be in a place where it would be easier for them. And Jerusalem, and especially the neighborhood in Jerusalem that I'm in, is a good place for that. In terms of sort of the continuing impact of my experience as a Fulbright postdoctoral scholar, my first book should be coming out next year, which I'm really excited about, and certainly it would have taken much, much longer to accomplish that had I not had the opportunity to devote 2 years to research. And I still have a tremendous amount of archival material that I collected for future projects, which will help my career going forward. I'm really excited about it, and I feel very grateful to Fulbright and to all of the staff at Tel Aviv to help me to have done that.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, Haim. We're very excited to see the release of your new book as a result of the time that you had during your Fulbright postdoc fellow to work on it. So thank you very much. Again, if you have questions for Haim, please put them in the chat box, especially if you have questions about the possibility of bringing a family with you on a Fulbright. He can answer those questions. What I would like to point out to you is that as you are reviewing the award offerings from Fulbright Israel, I wanted to point out that in the awards catalog, which is awards.ces.org, that you will need to look at the information on all four tabs. So the first tab, the award details, gives you the location, the length of time of the award, some of the grant details that are specific to that particular award, and all of the logistical information. The second tab, the award requirements tab, talk about a specific level that you have to be at. It also talks about whether language skills are necessary or not, and you can refer to that tab for all of the small details about your eligibility for that particular award. The third tab, the Stipend and Benefits Award, is where you can highlight all of the benefits that you will receive as a Fulbright scholar to Israel. So it'll talk about the stipend, it'll talk about the airfare reimbursement that Noah mentioned, any type of educational allowances that may or may not be provided, but you can find all of that information in the Stipend and Benefits tab. And then finally, the Country Area Overview tab situates you within the region. So please take the time to carefully read all of these tabs. And if you look at that second tab, the Award Requirements tab, that's where you can find contact information for NOAA directly and also the contact information for me at the Institute of International Education. We both work with the scholars to answer questions to make sure that you're as prepared as possible for your application. The basis of the application is a project statement, and I always highlight this because this is the heart of your Fulbright Award. It is very different from other funding sources because this is a cross-cultural exchange program, and we want that international collaboration to come through in your project statement. So you have 3 to 5 pages to describe your proposed project. Focus on what you plan to do, maybe the courses you plan to teach, what research you're going to do, and your methods. And it's also important that you explain the impact of your award on the hosts, the home institution, and yourself, your own career. That part is really essential because Fulbright likes the effects of the partnership to carry on beyond the time that you are abroad. So really take some time to elaborate on that in your project statement. Additionally, we have some supplemental questions where you have 1,000 characters to describe why Fulbright, 2,000 characters to talk about why Israel is the best place for you. The third one is how adaptable are you? So how do you deal with challenging situations? That gets into the cross-cultural adaptability. And then if you are applying for an award for the Senior Scholar Fellowships that allow you to choose teaching as one of your options, then you would talk about how you would adapt your materials for the host culture. And you would explain those in short answer questions. Next, I'm going to turn this over to Noah to talk a little bit more about the letter of invitation. I know she mentioned this letter of invitation and the importance of trying to establish those connections before you go. But Noah, if you could unmute yourself and talk just a little bit about the letter of invitation.
Sure. So for both programs, for both fellowships, the Senior Scholar and the postdoc, the core is the personal statement and your CV, what you've achieved so far. The second most important thing would be the letter of invitation, making sure you let us and the committees that will review your application know that this future relationship between you and your host is a solid one, is one that will advance research, will advance knowledge, will advance the collaboration between an American and Israelis. Like you've heard from both David and Chaim, that this research is going to be essential, that it will be innovative, and that this host knows and wants you to come. I offered to assist, and I will offer that again. My email is very much available to all of you. Both me and my boss, the executive director of Fulbright Israel, has a lot of connections and knowledge of the local academic world, and we're very happy to help you in the process of finding a suitable host if you don't know one or if you're not familiar with the different universities. Another thing that you should know is that Israel is a very small country. So for example, Chaim lives in Jerusalem and researched in Bar Ilan, which is less than an hour drive from Jerusalem. David was here and chose to live in Tel Aviv and researched in a university that is located in Haifa, which is a train of like an hour and a half, depends on all kinds of circumstances. But just to say that...
Exactly 1 hour door-to-door. Exactly 1 hour.
There you go. So in that sense, it's a tiny, tiny country. When I lived in the United States, people like to say that it's in the size of New Jersey. I'm not sure if it's correct. I think it's even smaller than that. So in that sense, if you're interested in a certain geographic area or your family will be more comfortable in Tel Aviv or Beersheba, but you would like to research elsewhere, it makes more sense for you to turn to a host elsewhere. Know that it is possible, especially as researchers. People don't have to live in the same exact location where the university is. Again, you're more than welcome to ask me all these questions and to assist with that. I think I'm done.
All right. Thank you so much, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Just to remind you of the application deadline, it is September 15th, 2020, for the 2021-2022 academic year. So you do need to plan at least 1 year in advance of wanting to apply for the Fulbright Award and go to Israel. And from that point on, sometime toward the end of the year, maybe November, December, you will receive status about whether you have made it through the U.S. peer review committee. And then after that point, sometime between January and April, when Fulbright Israel has had a time to convene their review committees. They will make their decisions, and you will receive a notification as soon as all of the approvals are complete. So you will know within about 6 or 7 months of submitting your application whether you have received an award. I do want to point out that you can stay connected to the Fulbright program in general using the social media handles on this page. And if you have any general questions about Fulbright Israel, you're welcome to email me at MiddleEastNorthAfrica@IIE.org. I do manage that inbox, and also on the right corner, the lower right corner of every award description, there is a link to join an office hour, and I wanted to highlight that I run the office hours on Thursdays, so if you have any specific questions about Fulbright Israel, feel free to join me on any Thursday. And at this point now, I would like to open it up to all of you to questions. So I will be asking the questions, and I will get responses from our guests here today. Okay, so I have one question. Are there opportunities in Israel for professionals who are not in academia and do not have PhDs? Noah, can you address that question, please?
First of all, the senior scholars, depends on exactly what kind of a professional are you, and you're welcome to send us a specific email. The senior scholar fellowship can suit like an artist or a professional of that sort. We also have a grant for postgrad students. It's called the Open Research Fellowship. It will not be under the Fulbright Scholars Fellowships, but under the Fulbright Students Fellowship. I think it's like a different website, or you can find it on our website, and it's for 1 year of open research, and then it's for people who don't have a PhD.
Thank you so much. We often get these eligibility questions, so if you are still uncertain about whether you're eligible, like Noah said, please reach out with your CV and we can help you determine eligibility. Another eligibility question that came up, and this is for you as well, Noah, is I am an assistant professor, but I graduated more than 4 years ago. Is there a Fulbright award that I can apply to?
I think you're right in between. You're right in between the two fellowships. How many years? I mean, this will not fit into the postdoc. Maybe a few more years of seniority, and then you could apply to the senior scholar fellowship.
Okay, thank you so much. There's another question here that says that they noticed the Fulbright picture that was taken in the slide about Fulbright Israel was taken in October. Do all Fulbright awards begin in October, or is there an option for them to begin in August?
That's a wonderful question. When not under Corona times, our scholars are welcome to arrive to Israel as early as July. So you will usually hear from us, I think, like the applications are due in September. We usually will let you know if you were selected by February, and then you're welcome to arrive here during the summer and start your research. The reason why we have the orientation in October is that that's when by then everyone needs to arrive, and then the senior scholars, the postdocs, and the students will be there, and then we kind of like gather everyone. It's already fall, it's less hot, and then we all go on an orientation. But just that you know, for example, this year, because of Corona, the scholars will only arrive in January. So everything is optional and everything is possible, and we try to be as flexible as possible, but just also know that life happened in the last few months and it's complicated. But the short version of this question is yes, you can arrive during the summer.
All right, thank you so much. Here's another question that I get often from applicants. It says, is it more or less competitive to apply for one of the open senior scholar awards that require the $2,000 institutional contribution versus the specific sponsored awards, for example, at Haifa or Tel Aviv, that do not require the contribution?
They're not more or less competitive. This is a very, I mean, both fellowships, the postdoc and the senior scholar fellowship, both programs are very competitive. But the difference is really, I mean, it's pure, you would not sense the difference. They're not less or more competitive, and the universities are very happy to pay the contribution of the $2,000 or in the other fellowship. So there's no difference really.
Thank you so much. Okay, let's go on to the next question. The next question is, if I have dual Israeli-American citizenship, am I still eligible?
Yes, you are. If you are both an American and Israeli, you can apply for a Fulbright fellowship as an American to come to Israel. Vice versa is impossible. You cannot be an Israeli-American and apply to Fulbright to go and research in the U.S.
Okay, as a follow-up to that question, mm-hmm. if this applicant is interested in the Global Scholar Award, with Israel being one of the key countries in the Global Scholar Award, are those Fulbright scholars connected at all to Fulbright Israel, or is that a different program?
They're very much connected. Their program is run logistically a little bit different, but any Fulbrighter that arrives to Israel is warmly welcomed, as you heard from David and Chaim, by the excellent Fulbright staff, and is invited to the additional and enrichment programs that we offer. And just make sure you find the other countries you would like to go and research at as well, but it's pretty much the same. We're very happy to have the Global as well.
Okay, thank you. And I do want to encourage the audience to feel free to ask questions to the alumni as well who have joined us on the call. Okay, I have another question about someone who received a U.S.-Israel Binational Science Foundation grant with the University of Hebrew to collaborate with a professor at the University of Hebrew. Would that project be the basis for a Fulbright Award, or how does that combination work? You talked about the possibility of getting a second funding source to fund the extension time, so I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about the collaboration between a funding source, for example, the U.S.-Israel Binational Science Foundation grant and the Fulbright Award.
Is that for a postdoc or for a senior scholar?
It is not clear.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but in general, I can say that we don't object to additional funding. We would like to know about it and approve it in advance. So you can email me and tell me the story of exactly what funding you have, and I will email back and say, okay, go ahead and also apply for Fulbright, or this funding might jeopardize a Fulbright fellowship. But in general, those additional funding are not a problem.
Okay, thank you. I have another question. If someone applied to an award at Fulbright Israel, made it through peer review, but ultimately did not receive an award, do you encourage another similar application, or should the scholar revise and propose a different project?
It's a kind of a hard question to ask. Remember that always in life when we compete, we don't just compete. It's not just application, it's the competition is also versus other applicants. We have only 8 fellowships per program, We have 8 senior scholars per year and 8 postdocs per year, so it's very hard to say if you did very well, but just not as well as the other 8 that were selected or not. If you were an alternate, that means that you did very well, and it's just the other 8 that came before you were selected. I would not necessarily change the application or the basic spirit of the application if you have a very good invitation letter. But as always, competition is also against the other people who were applying with you.
All right, thank you so much. Now, Chaim, we have a question for you. Can you explain a little bit about the experiences your children have had attending an Israeli school? If you can unmute yourself, please, and answer that question, that would be great for the audience. Thank you.
Yeah,
now you are.
Okay. So my children went to 2 different types of schools, and this, I think, is something that might be helpful. So my daughter went to a regular Israeli public religious school. She actually has been to 2 of them at this point. The first year she went to a school which was very good for Israelis, but it wasn't so good for Americans coming in and being in an Israeli environment. And the reason for that was because they didn't have a well-established program for teaching children Hebrew. They had a teacher who worked with her privately, but it wasn't really well organized. The school that she's in now has a really great program for teaching kids Hebrew, and she's made a lot of progress. So when you're thinking about putting a kid in the public school in Israel, whether it's a religious school or not religious school, doesn't matter, you have to make sure that they have an Olpan program. My son is a little different. So we put him in an international school that tries to gather people from all across the world and bring them to Israel, and half of the program is teaching Hebrew. So he had, during the first quarter, a much, much easier time, because the whole program is really organized around an international student body. Americans, Venezuelans, Chileans, Italians, everybody. So I think it really depends on what you're looking for. Making sure that the school that you put your child in has the resources to be able to support them to do the thing that you want your child to be able to do at the end of the time. So for us, we really wanted them to be in an environment where they learned the language, and we just didn't realize for the first year, at least for my daughter, that we had chosen a school that wasn't set up for that. And now that she's in a better school to address that issue, it's worked much, much better.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing about that. I did want to point out that I received a comment from David. David, you had something that you wanted to share about vaccinations before going to Israel. So could you unmute yourself, David, and share a little bit about your experience with vaccinations and your attempt to get them or not?
Sure. I had to apply for a sabbatical a year and a half in advance. So my sabbatical started before I found out whether I was awarded the Fulbright. So I had gotten to Israel, and then I got all the paperwork saying you need all these vaccinations. And I found it non-trivial to get vaccinations in Israel as a foreigner, because that's generally done by the Interior Ministry, and they for foreigners, and you can get an appointment 6 months. You need 6 months to get an appointment. So what I would say is, if you're heading to Israel before you know, get all the basic vaccinations at home, so you don't have to deal with it there.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that information. I do have a request, Noah, in our question box for your email address. So could you please share your email address or the best way for them to contact Fulbright Israel if they have any questions?
Sure, I'll type it. If I type it here, it will be seen by everyone.
Yes, that's fine. And I can also copy it in the question box once you do that. Okay, great.
My email, and that's our website. Very welcome to contact us.
Great. We have a couple minutes left. Are there any further questions from the audience members? Okay. It looks like our questions have come to a close. I want to thank all of you for coming again. And again, the request to assist you in any way comes from us at the Institute of International Education. It comes from Fulbright Israel. We really do want to help you all submit the most competitive applications possible. For those of you wanting to review the PowerPoint again, please know in about 1 to 2 weeks, it will be posted on our website in the same location where you registered for this presentation. You will also receive a follow-up email about the posting of the presentation. So thank you again for coming and talking with us today. For any other specific details about the awards in Fulbright Israel that you're considering, please review the award description very carefully. Fulbright Israel put a lot of time into making sure that all of the details are as clear as possible in the award description. Before we leave, Noah, David, Chaim, do you have any final remarks that you'd like to make to the audience?
Yeah, I do. This is David again. I've also reviewed for the Fulbright Foundation, and it's important to know for the people writing that the people reading your application are not, whereas they're scholars, they're not necessarily experts in your field. And I found that some of the applications just assume that they, that the, some of the applicants had assumed that the people reading their application would be experts in the sub specialty they were in. And that's not going to be the case. It should be for an written for an intelligent but not a specialized audience.
Thank you. That's actually very good advice, because the review committees do vary once the scholars get into very specific types of research within their discipline. So thank you for sharing that. Any other final comments that you presenters would like to share?
I will welcome you again to think about Israel as a wonderful destination for research. And like you said, Carlene, is an amazing opportunity to launch a career, or a wonderful place to rest during your amazing career. Go into our website. We have our current fellows, future fellows for this coming year, and the fellows from previous years' bios there. I think this will give you a wonderful picture of what we're looking for, how diverse and special our program is, and use my contact information to ask any question you would like.
All right. Thank you very much. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Please stay healthy and stay safe, and reach out with any other questions. Goodbye.